Now I would invite you to take your Bible, and we're turning to Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're reading from verse 17, a very well-known verse, and a couple of verses into chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. We're going to conclude our reading there in the middle of verse 4, knowing that the Lord would bless to our hearts the reading of his holy, inspired, and inerrant word. This part of morning worship, we will call upon our brother Mr. Ballantyne to bring the announcements to the congregation. Thank you, Morris. Once more, we'd invite you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to notice the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I wonder, beloved, have you ever seriously considered the titles that the Scripture uses for the believer? For instance, it talks about us being children in the family, the Son of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. What a blessing it is to be a child in the family. Now you think of our own home and our own family. How did we get into the family? We get into the family, of course, by birth. And there's no other way into the family but by birth. By birth or by adoption. And so we're in the family of God by birth and by adoption. For we rejoice that we are those who are born again of the Spirit of God. There was that time when without Christ, without God, and without hope. But we rejoice there was a time, there was a place when the Holy Spirit convicted us of sin, when he gave us repentance to forsake our sin, gave us faith to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're in Christ. What a blessing it is to be able to say, yes, I'm a child in the family. Brother and sister, we want to reflect on that for a moment or two to encourage you. We live in a world that's anti-God, a world that's opposed to Christ. And God's people are having it hard and difficult. And we need to encourage ourselves like David. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What an encouragement it is this Lord's Day morning as we sit in God's house to be able to say, I'm a child of the King. I'm in the family of God. What a blessing to be in the family. Maybe I should pause there a moment. There could be those with us this morning and you're not in the family. You come to church here, you love the pastor, but you're not a child of God. You're not born of the Spirit. You haven't given up your sin. You haven't embraced Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. It would be our prayer this very day, even as you sit where you are, that by faith you would turn to Christ and say, Lord, be my Savior. Take my sin away. Bring me into the family of God. And bless his name, a great miracle would take place. You'd be born of the Spirit of God. You'd be regenerated and put into the family of God. What a blessing it is just to know that you're a child in the family. But the Scripture not only calls us sons in the family. The Scripture uses another metaphor or another title for us, that we're sheep. Sheep in the fold. Yes, there was a time when we were sheep going astray, but there was that time when the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came in search of us, found us, brought us home, and put us into the sheepfold. And so today we can say, yes, I'm a sheep in the fold. I entered in by the door, and I am saved. And then again, the Scripture calls those who love the Lord Jesus soldiers. There's a conflict. There's a battle. What a blessing it is to be a soldier and to put on the whole armor of God and to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. A child in the family, or a son in the family, if you like. A sheep in the sheepfold. And they're a soldier in the battle or in the conflict. But the Scripture also talks about stewards and talks about servants. Servants in the field, serving their master. All wonderful titles. But the title that we want to focus on for a little while is the one that was used by the Apostle Paul. As he wrote to a church with problems, with difficulties, he wrote to them and he said, we are ambassadors for Christ. And for a little while this morning, I want to talk to you about the task that lies to every Christian, whether he's young or old, whether he's experienced or inexperienced. There's a task that lies to every Christian. And those verses which we read today tells us something about that task. And I pray as we consider them together that the Holy Spirit will draw near over our gathering. He'll burn it into our heart. That this will not just be a sermon this morning or a mere address, but it will be God's word to our hearts. We'll be challenged. We will have a new love for the Lord. We will leave with a new excitement, with a new determination to serve the Lord with nothing less than our best. And we pray the Lord will be uplifted and glorified. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the dignity of this task. The dignity of the task of being an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul lifts this task up to a plane where it rightly belongs. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God. Ministers of God, the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the dignity of this task. Now, I want you to notice with me that the Christian here has a tremendous responsibility, has a tremendous task. And as we think about the dignity of that task, I want you to notice with me that you have a partnership. You're not in your own in this task. It's not like any other work that we're given to do. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him. The ambassador has someone alongside him who's working with him and working through him. We have a holy partnership. Now go back to chapter 1 Corinthians, Paul's first epistle, and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. I wonder, have you ever thought about that, Christian? You know your responsibility. You know that you're obligated to tell others about Christ, to witness. But have you ever thought in the obligation and in the task and in the work that lies to your hand that there's one right alongside you? He's your partner. And you enjoy this holy partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we could illustrate that to you by considering the Great Commission. You remember the Lord Jesus on resurrection ground commissioned his church to go forth and to witness for him and to evangelize. Matthew chapter 28. And we read here where the Savior said in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Notice there's the task, there's the command. Go and to all nations. Now notice we go with Christ's program, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Notice there's the power for the task, there's the program, there's the presence. that we have this sweet abiding presence of the Savior in this task of evangelizing, in this task of enlisting men for Christ. The Lord Jesus is with us. Now keep that in mind and see what is recorded for us in Mark's Gospel. When Mark's dealing with the Great Commission, he tells us in chapter 16, verse 20, and they went, they received the commission. They knew the Lord's command. They knew His plan for their life. They accepted that plan. Notice what happened. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now underline it. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs. Notice the Lord working with them. Oh, how the Lord Jesus is with every believer. Beloved, He never leaves us nor forsake us. He's alongside us at all times. But particularly so when you take your stand for the Lord Jesus. When you witness for Him. God is looking for men and women in our churches who will take their stand for Christ. If there ever was a day and age when we need to recognize the dignity of this task, that I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever I am, that I have got to stand for the Lord Jesus. Many years ago in the great city of London, in that great hall, the Royal Albert Hall, there was a gathering of, some were evangelical, some were liberal, and there were those who were putting forth the idea that the Bible's not inspired, that Jesus didn't perform miracles, that Jonah wasn't swallowed by a great fish, and they were decrying the miracles of the Lord Jesus. And this went on for quite a while, and there wasn't one fundamentalist that stood up to challenge those people who were putting forth those erroneous teaching. Little girl up on the third balcony, she stood up, just 10 years of age, and she started to sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Then she started the second verse, and some around her stood up and started to sing with her. She continued on into the third and fourth verse, and when she came to the final part of the hymn, all in that great hall was standing, and they were singing, stand up for Jesus. You see, that little girl recognized that she had the Lord Jesus with her, and she was going to witness for Him. Beloved, we have a great task. It's a task that's marked by dignity. But beloved, we have a holy partnership as we seek to discharge our duty before the Lord. I want you to notice, not only do we have a holy stewardship, but we have a holy partnership, rather, but we have a holy stewardship. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Beloved, that calls for faithfulness. What the Lord is looking for today among His people is fidelity, faithfulness. The Lord Jesus has set us as watchmen. We're to watch against sin. We're to watch against Satan. We are to warn men and women. We have a holy stewardship. And brother and sister, one day all of us will give an account of our stewardship. There's the great judgment seat of Christ. Now that's not where the ungodly appear. That's where the Christian will appear to be examined regarding his labor. It is a place where we will be rewarded. It will be that wonderful place where the Lord will examine us. What a day it will be when we hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Beloved, without exception, you and I have this task. A task that's marked with dignity. A task where we recognize the Lord Jesus is our partnership. But we recognize that we have a holy stewardship, and we will render and give that account one day to the Master, the sole head and only King of the Church. But I want you to notice this task is a wonderful task, task that's marked by a dignity, an ambassador of the King of Kings. But it's a task that's marked with urgency. Isn't there something about us where we want to postpone or pursue, or rather just procrastinate, put the matter off of serving the Lord to another day, put the matter off of witnessing to some other time? My dear friends, it's urgent, because of salvation. We read the well-known verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, where he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, but now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This matter is urgent because of salvation. And if there's those with us, I say again, if you're not a Christian, the time for you to become a Christian is right now. The only time you're assured of is this very moment. Don't procrastinate. Don't put the matter off. I had a very good friend. Some 22 years ago I met him. He became a great friend, but he wasn't a Christian. But he always said he would become a Christian. He would have come to all the services. No matter what we wanted done, he would always be there to help us. He was working in a neighbor's house one day. And at 10:30, the neighbor's son was there who was a Christian. And he said to my friend, Billy, did you ever think of getting saved? Oh, he says, I think about it all the time. And one of these days I'm going to get saved. I'm going to go up to the manse and I'm going to get the Reverend Allen to point me to the Savior. I know I need to be saved. I know I could be saved. And I'm going to be saved some of these days. That was at 10:30. At 12 o'clock I was with him. He had gone out into eternity. He knew he should be saved. He wanted to get saved. But for so long he had procrastinated. I trust that in that hour and a half that he did close in with faith, with Christ. Do you see the urgency? But it's urgent not only because of salvation, it's urgent because of service. Man has a great need. Man has many needs. But his supreme need is God's salvation. His sins have separated him and his God. He needs to be saved. And it's our task to reach out to those who know not the Lord. It's our task to see that they hear and they understand their need of saving faith in Christ. There's a great urgency. Beloved, we're not always going to have the opportunity. Opportunity only knocks once. And I say to you, don't postpone it. Don't put it off. It's amazing how people postpone issues and things of great importance. Do you ever think of old Pharaoh down in Egypt? He was having plague after plague came, and then he had the plague of the frogs. There were frogs everywhere. They came up out of the Nile. They came into the homes. They were in the bread bin. They were in the bed. And he sent for Moses. And he asked Moses to pray that the frogs would be taken from the house and the frogs would just remain in the river. And Moses said to Pharaoh, when do you want me to pray? When do you want rid of the frogs? Do you know what he said, men and women? Tomorrow. He put the matter off till the next day. Another night with the frogs. That's how men and women are. Another night with their sin. Another night with carelessness. Brother and sister, we need to see the urgency. And that's, as God gives me help this morning, I want to emphasize that. There's the need to serve the Lord. When? Now. Now is all the time we have. You see, it's urgent because of man's need. It's urgent because of the day of grace. The day of grace has a terminating point. I read in the book of Revelation chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus is coming back. He's putting a foot on the sea, a foot on the land, and he's going to make a mighty announcement that time shall be no more. Brother and sister, we will not always have the opportunity of serving the Master. Oh, would today we could really get that across. Do you see the need of urgency in Christian living? The need of urgency in serving the Lord. The Lord has given us a tremendous task. He has brought us into his family. He has made us stewards. He has made us servants. And he's saying to us today that we are his ambassador. You know, if we had the task of representing the Queen, wouldn't we be so pleased? It'd be wonderful to be the ambassador for the Queen of England. In the various countries, she is ambassadors in all the countries, and particularly throughout the Commonwealth. She's there representing, they're representing the Queen. You and I are down here representing the King. Now, men and women are not reading the Bible. God has given us natural revelation. We can see his handiwork all around us, but they're not reading his handiwork. God has given us his word, the inspired and errant word. But men and women are not reading the Bible. They're reading your life and they're reading my life. And I often ask myself, what gospel are they reading? Do they see the love of Christ in me? You think of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Those fruits should be evident in every believer. And the way we can experience the fruit is by abiding in Christ. The Lord Jesus has told us to abide in Him. How we need to be totally surrendered to Him, totally dependent on Him, as we seek to serve the Master in this capacity as the ambassador of the Lord Jesus. So what a task is ours. A task that's marked by gravity. An ambassador for the King. A task that has stamped the stamp of urgency is upon it. Oh, that we might serve the Lord with nothing less than our best and serve Him today. But notice again here, and you'll notice that it is a task that is marked by gravity. Notice the gravity of this task. Let's read verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Mark it. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Now there are two things there, beloved. There is the negative, and there is the positive. In other words, we are to protect the ministry. Did you ever think of that? Isn't it sad so often when we read in our newspapers of Christians, particularly ministers of the gospel, who fall away and get themselves into sin? How the enemies rejoice over the fall of a Christian. We have a ministry to protect. You're an ambassador for the King. That you're His representative. You've got to protect that ministry. And how we need to do that. Do you remember the great King of Israel, King David? King David fell into sin, terrible sin. And the prophet came to him, told him he was the man. And David repented of his sin. Do you know what the prophet said? God has forgiven you, but nevertheless, you have given great occasion to the enemy to blaspheme. Oh, how we need to protect the gospel. Need to protect the things of God. This world is totally opposed to us. They're looking for faults all the time. How we need to live in the light of our Lord's return. We need to make sure that we're not stumbling blocks where the ungodly are concerned. You're just a few pages away there from Romans. Look at Romans chapter 14. We're reminded again of our stewardship, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Listen, beloved, wouldn't it be a terrible thing to live a cold, careless life, to live in such a worldly way that you're hindering men and women from coming to the Savior? Wouldn't you want to be a stepping stone? Wouldn't you want to be a signpost pointing men and women to the Savior? Oh, thank God, His grace is sufficient. His power is sufficient. He gives us power. We can know that inner strength as the Lord empowers us to witness for Him. So we need to promote the ministry. But you notice, or protect the ministry, but we've also got to promote it. There's a little verse tucked away there in Titus. Let me read it to you. Titus chapter 2. And it's at verse 7. Titus 2 verse 7. Listen to these words. In all things, showing ourselves a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Oh, how we need to promote this ministry. And the way we do it is by Christian living. By life and by lip. There's another verse that you might want to put in your margin there. It's found in Ephesians. That little epistle to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Our speech, beloved, is so important. Our words can hurt. Our words can harm. But bless God, our words can heal and our words can help. I would just assume that in most of your homes, you have the great work of John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan was converted, came to saving faith in Christ as he eavesdropped on the conversation of two ladies, Two ladies were talking about their Savior. They weren't gossiping about their neighbor or some friend. They were talking about the one they loved and the one they served. And as he listened to those ladies talk and speak about Jesus, he came under conviction of sin, and as a result, he came to saving faith in Christ. Oh, beloved, how blessed we are that God has looked upon us in divine favor and has saved us and brought us into the family, brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this, that we might promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might protect it. He has given to you, and he has given to me a task as the ambassador of the Lord Jesus. You go out tomorrow, and you're representing the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you this, you have all the authority of heaven. For Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You go out tomorrow, and sometimes we feel intimidated, we feel inhibited, we feel inferior. Let the joy of the Lord fill your soul, that you're God's child, you're God's servant, you're a child of the King, and you go out with that authority. You go forth in the precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. May God bless you. And through your witness and through my witness, may his kingdom be extended down here. What a day it will be when the Lord comes. And we're able to stand before him and say, here I am, and the children thou hast given me. May God bless your pastor and bless this congregation in the days to come. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this time together around your word. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit will take what has been of thyself. And we pray, Lord, that as a result of our morning worship, we will leave with that new love for the Lord, new burning love for souls, a love to see your kingdom extended. Praying all the while that Christ will have all the preeminence and have all the glory, even as he does in Emmanuel's land. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.